This is Katie and Kay. Between the years of 1984 and 1999, the late Mary Ferguson had a public affairs program here on Katie and Kay. This I remember. Mary recorded all of her shows on cassette tapes. These tapes have been lost for years. Mary's family discovered them and donated them to the Carbondale Historical Society, and Katie and Kay was able to digitize all of the tapes. In collaboration with the Carbondale Historical Society, Katie and Kay is proud to present a conversation between Mary Ferguson and the late Leveda Sloan. Enjoy!
As I remember, Mary Ferguson, Katie and Kay, Carbondale. Tonight, my guest is Leveda Sloan. She is an old-time resident of this area. And although she wasn't born in Colorado, she has been raised in Colorado. Leveda, tell us about your experiences here in Carbondale and in Colorado in general.
In Colorado in general. Well, Mary, I'm sure glad that this isn't television. That wind out there tonight, I look like I'm something wild from way yonder somewhere off the top of some hill. Yeah, we came to Colorado when I was 6 months old from Nebraska, and we moved into Kagan City. My dad homesteaded down there in what we call Copper Gulch.
You still have property there?
No, they sold it, but I wish we did.
Oh, okay.
But we lived on that 140 acres or whatever it was of dry land down there in the middle of nowhere. Had to travel clear down the middle of that gulch. There was no highway then. And I think we crossed the spring something like 26 times getting into Kagan City to get groceries. And there was no bridges. You went across the spring. You drove right across it. And then we moved from there up to West Cliff. And we lived there for a couple of years, and we raised peas. We had big pea packing sheds. And that was another experience there. That was something else.
Isn't that where your father asked for some help?
Yes, he put an ad in the paper. They needed 300 pea pickers. And the Pueblo chieftain made a mistake and advertised for 3,000. And we got pea pickers from all over the world. We had pea pickers living in the haylofts. We had pea pickers living in the barns. We had pea pickers everywhere. But it was quite a time. That's another entirely different story. Them people was something else. We had one gal they called the California Scooter. She sat down and she scooted between two rows, literally on her rear.
On her scooter.
On her scooter, and pulled herself along with her legs and picked both sides of the rows, one hand on each side. Kept her basket right between her legs and just pushed it right ahead of her. She could really go, though.
Well, that'd be quite an art to pick peas that way.
Yeah, then we went to move to Durango, and there's where I finished up in high school. And during the war, my father joined he wanted to join the service, but he couldn't. He was too old. They wouldn't take him, so he joined civil service. And so he had an option, and we sold the ranch and everything on it. And he joined the civil service, and we went to Pando. We were up there at Camp Hale until they decided to close that, and then we were sent to Lahana. And there's where I met my husband. And I married him and started in from there. And he worked construction, so we worked fairly well all over Colorado. And we moved in here at the beginning of Rudi Dam. And I liked the valley, and we decided it was time to stop and raise our boys in one school. I had three sons, and so this is where we just stayed.
And then you lost your husband just recently.
Yeah, in December.
And, of course, your boys are like, my boys went away.
Yeah, they all left. And I have my granddaughter here. She's staying with me this week during her spring vacation. She's over from the other side of Denver. But her dad graduated high school here. He was He played on the year that Roaring Fork took state for the football team. Everybody called him Shorty.
So, is that when...
Lechuga was our quarterback, I do believe.
Was that with Bob Cook? He was our coach at that time.
I don't remember the coach.
Yes.
I think it was.
Because he put us on the map, and they've been on the map ever since.
Yeah, must have been him, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. What was kind of neat about that year was that we had some brush came over here to play, and I have a whole bunch of cousins from Brush that came, and their children was playing on the Brush team, and they stayed at our house, and they didn't look like the looks of Doug when he came home from the football game because we beat him. It was kind of funny. But this valley has been, this really changed naturally. When we moved in here, there wasn't a policeman. We had no police force. We had kind of had a town marshal, and he wasn't really maybe he drew $40 a month. I don't know what he drew, but he wasn't on duty all the time. He was just called whenever somebody had a little problem and needed some help to boot somebody out of one of the bars or something like that.
Not only was he a marshal, but his name is Marshall Thomas.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Dean Smith.
I remember Dean Smith.
He did everything.
Yeah.
He was the police chief, although
he wasn't a police chief. He was just a...
Well, that's why I say he didn't have that title.
No.
But he did that job. Well, and he took care of the water, and he took care of the kids, and he took care of the jail.
Yeah.
He did everything.
Yeah, the city park over here wasn't a park. It was just a field with a tall grass and weeds in it.
That's right. That's where the town used to play baseball,
mm-hmm.
there. And yeah. They would go to Leadville or Grand Junction or anywhere around here, especially to Marble. Mm-hmm. Had great games.
Yeah.
So, and of course your kids now are scattered.
They're all scattered. My oldest one's in Albuquerque. He called me just a while ago before we came up here, and he said, want to know how much snow we had? And I told him we didn't have any, but it was cold and windy. And he said, well, Mom, he said, when I got up this morning, he said, it was raining when I went to bed, and when I got up this morning, there was 5 inches of snow. And he said, just a little bit ago, I went out and swept the car off. He said, it's snowed hard all day. And he said, there was a foot of snow on my car. So he said, and I can't believe that. I'm down here, and you're up there, and you don't have any snow.
Well, we don't. It's really an unusual year as far as our snow and rain. And
then my middle boy's he's in Omaha, Nebraska, and he says it's cold and windy there. We all know it's supposed to be cold and windy in Omaha. I told him that when he went there. But that's where the company wanted him, so that's where he went. And then my youngest son, which was everybody called, well, had Shorty and David and Don the oldest, David the middle, and Doug the smallest, and everybody called Doug Shorty, and he's the one that was on the football team, and he's in Bennett, Colorado. They all work for the same company and have for about 10, well, next year Doug will be 15 years. So they've all been to that company quite a while.
As you watch this valley grow, what are some of the changes that you've seen?
Oh, so many changes. And some things I like and some things I don't like. One thing I used to remember is when I came home from work from Aspen, used to come down this back Catherine Store Road, and the bluebirds were so thick through that valley. I just loved it just to come through there. Now, all the houses and everything, you don't hardly see a bluebird one.
No, we don't. But we did see the starlings tonight.
Oh, that was so neat. Tell them about that.
As we drove, turned around there on the corner by the telephone office, there was a mud puddle or just a small body of water. And the starlings were bathing. They were just splashing water on each other. And as Levita drove by, she stopped so we could watch them. And they flew up in the tree, and they decided we weren't moving on, so they flew right back into the puddle and enjoyed. They just acted like they were enjoying
They were.
And it was so cold and so windy.
But they were really at it. They were going just as much water as they could get all over them.
Splashing everywhere.
They were really doing it.
So. And then, of course, I heard the robins this morning in the vacant lot across the street from me. And the crows and the birds going over. It's, to me, it's a little bit early for those birds to come back, but they're here, so.
Yeah.
We used to have meadowlarks over there in that vacant lot, and I haven't heard the meadowlarks for the last couple of years across there. Too many houses.
I remember the meadowlarks being a lot over there where their Crystal Village is at now.
So.
That used to be full of meadowlarks in there.
And
we had a lot of doves over there below the hill, too.
Yes. And the eagles. Mm-hmm. So, that's been quite an issue, our eagles. But you can watch them soaring overhead. It's quite an event to see the eagles. And, of course, the ducks that stay over across the Roaring Fork River. At one time, we didn't... Well, they stopped by for a day or two and took off, but now they stay all winter.
Geese, the big geese.
The geese and the ducks. So, times are changing.
Yes, it is.
As your husband was working at the Rudai Dam, I know Meredith said one time that when the dam was built, they buried her valley. And that's been true because
there's
quite a lot of water up there.
Yes, there was farms right down in the valley that just covered over, just bulldozed them down. And that time that Elgibel, there was 7 or 8 trailers in there. And that's all there was. They're on Floyd Crawford's ground. My nephew was one of them. And that's all there was there.
And look what's happened.
Now it's a city, yeah.
Elgibel and Blue Lake. All of that area. But
one thing it seems to me like when you up this new highway, you're in a different valley. It don't look the same.
No, because the highway from here, from the railroad track here in town, out to the bridge across the Roaring Fork, as I remember that years ago, it was driving through a lane with trees on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a farmhouse scattered here and there. And now the trees are gone, and the houses and the commercial buildings that they have there. And in town, there are no open spaces in town.
Not hardly.
Where the park is, that was a cow pasture. And, of course, our house there on Euclid Avenue was the last house in town. And now, from there on over to the river, there are hundreds of houses there. Nice, big, beautiful homes.
Yeah. Yeah. I still, when I go up by that Catherine's Store, that road, I stop up there at that bridge. It just isn't possible for me that you can pass, two cars can pass on that bridge, because we had to stop and let whoever... Cable was one way for so many years. I still stop. I just automatically do it.
Well, it still isn't too wide.
Nope.
and of course, the bridge that we had across the Roaring Fork down here was, when Mary Blue drove across that bridge, we passed her one time. My brother-in-law was driving. He says, I had 1 foot in the river. I don't know how we passed, because we just didn't have the room, but she went her way and we went ours.
I shouldn't say that when we came in on Rudai was our first time here, because it wasn't, because not for my husband anyway. We had a house in Grand Junction. We were going to have the boys go through school there. And he was just going to, when he worked away from home, he was just going to live away from home. And he came up here and here and he built those big tin... bins for the cold up at the Mid-Continent. He built all those, and at that time he boarded at Mrs. Witchie's. And we used to come up on the weekend and see him. that unfortunately, I should say, our home in Grand Junction burned, and so that was a good sign that we weren't to stay there, so we took the road again until we landed here.
And now you're here to stay.
Yes.
So.
Well, guess so.
Well, your end of town
yeah.
is building up yeah. rapidly. Mm-hmm. It's, well, everybody wants to live here. And I don't blame them.
I don't either. That's like they say, we advertise our valley, and when people come here and look at it, no wonder they want to live here. With what you hear about everything that's going on all over the country. Earthquakes, mudslides, hurricanes, snowstorms.
Yes, even in the parts of Colorado, they've had severe snowstorms just this past few days that bypassed us.
Nothing like they had in New York and Boston, though, but they have back east. I don't know. Maybe the news media makes it worse, but they make them sound like they're just terrible.
To them, it is terrible.
I suppose.
It's a lot of unusual weather for some of these states, as your son in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And and in New Mexico, the trim apple trees and apricots and cherry trees are in full bloom.
Yeah.
And here they have snow on them. Well, we had that a couple of times here in Colorado, in Carbondale.
Lots of times.
But the storms aren't like they used to be.
Anybody wants to see some real pretty flowers in bloom already? The daffodils are in bloom over in front of Albert Cerise's again.
Yes,
the crocuses are almost gone, though.
A full row of daffodils there. And it seems, to me, it seems so early.
They always bloom there along that brick fence. I think the brick wall, first bloom in Colorado, on the south.
They're on the south side, and you have the warm sunshine up against that wall.
I don't know. I think Albert goes out and warms that wall every night with a blowtorch. He does something anyway. So he has to do something. He always has the first flowers.
Joe Carthel used to have the first flowers. He lived down there between here and the railroad track and the bridge. And, of course, he was our bee man.
Oh,
and
yes.
And it paid for him to raise a lot of flowers. And at one time, the dahlia was our flower, because Joe raised such great big dahlias, big as a dinner plate. And we lived on the ranch just across the railroad track, and we had rabbits. Anyway, in the spring, you could barely get to the rabbits because of the bees coming up. They were never stung any of us, but
sure worried you,
I gave them plenty of room. And with Joe, he said the only time that he was stung, we had a house, well, it was a cabin over on our lots on Euclid Avenue, and this little lot had been rented to an old bachelor, and he called someone. He said, I've got a hive of bees. And he called for Joe, and Joe came up. He was going to take the hive of bees, but it was bumblebees, and one stung him.
And I didn't know a bumblebee stung.
Well, it did. Sounded like a buzzsaw and stung him. But nevertheless, there was a nest of bumblebees in there. And, of course, all the noise they made, it made our renter think that there was a hive of bees there, because in the spring, many times the young bees would leave. And so it was great honey. And during the war, when we couldn't get sugar, everybody went to Joe for honey.
Used honey for sugar. Those food stamps were something else.
So.
I remember when you used to have to, we painted our legs and painted a stripe down the back of the middle of them to make them look like hose. Couldn't get silk hose.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, I did. I remember we did. We painted our legs with, had some stuff that come in a bottle and it was brown and you put it all over your legs and then you took this little pencil thing and you put a black line up the middle of the back of your leg to make it look like a seam.
And like, well, we...
We didn't have crooked seams.
No, they stayed in place.
Yeah.
Well, what have you noticed in the change in clothing?
Oh, I don't know. This area, to me, when I moved into this valley, I didn't own a pair of pants. It was all just dresses. And it was kind of a transition for me. I don't have very many dresses now.
Sure.
But the people here have always been completely different in their dress, though, than a lot of other places. I noticed that when we came in. Over the years, you go someplace else and their dress is different than here. Anything goes here. Absolutely anything.
You're right there.
It's absolutely anything you want to wear. Mary and I spent this afternoon up at the Rebecca Hall. We're decorating it for our president is coming in Monday. And we were on the decorating committee. And we were talking about what we were going to wear up there.
Well, the assembly president asked for formal
wear.
And during our lodge work and all that, we do wear robes during the ritualistic part of the work. So, and the Eastern Star also goes formal to lodge. And so many of our people, well, they kind of hesitate. They don't want to wear a dress anymore. They'd rather come in slacks. Mm-hmm. I have my first slack suit that I bought, probably 30 years ago, because we were not allowed to wear slacks to school.
No.
And so I still have that suit, and I look at it every now and then and I think, my goodness, that's a museum piece.
When I went in my school, I rode horseback to school clear through the 10th grade, but we weren't allowed to wear slacks in school, so I wore a pair of my brother's old jeans underneath my dress, held my dress up, and then when I got to school, I took my jeans off in the barn and put them over the saddle and brushed my skirt down and brushed the horse hair off of it, and to school I went.
Well, we used to walk from the Anschutz Ranch, which was the Sweet Ranch at that time. That's, a couple miles. But in the wintertime, we had a cart, two-wheel cart, and we had an old gray mare whose name was Mabel. And we used to put her in a barn over here where the, across from telephone offices. And that time the Dinkle building, this building was the Dinkle store, and they delivered the groceries to homes with the horse and buggy. And of course, they had their horse there too.
Had a stable there.
It was a stable. Mm-hmm. So, well, it was nice talking to you, and I hope that you will continue enjoying your life here in Carbondale. This I remember, KDNK, Mary Ferguson, and I thank you for listening.
This has been a conversation between the late Mary Ferguson and the late Levada Sloan. Thank you to the Carbondale Historical Society for helping make these conversations available. The complete audio archive and transcriptions can be found at carbondalehistory.org. Thank you for listening to KDNK.